We have some testimonies today that we want to give. I think, I can't see everybody, Mike and Michael and Billy and Honey. Would you come up here and sit on this front row for me, please? See, I'll give you a little pastoral insight. This is what you do when you're trying to figure out who goes first. I told you I'd say that. Michael's going to be last because he was upstairs. So you get to go first, Michael. Now, I want to warn you all, this mic you have to swallow, okay? And if you would stand in the middle, that really helps cameras.
I have a pastoral insight. These are going to be needed. So I started putting this together. I'm a techie guy. So I whipped out my little phone, my little iPad, and I started doing things and coming up with things that don't quite work right. Thank you very much, finally. And I wrote exactly what I wanted to say. And I tried it out last night. You know, I preached it to myself, make sure I'm within the time frame. And I was praying about it. What I heard God say is, well done, you did a good job of telling your story. Your story. So we changed it. This is a story of the faithfulness of God. It's not my story, it's his. The one who was faithful when I was not. Amen. How many people here have ever heard a word from the Lord? A promise, this is going to happen, it's yours, claim it, right? That was 2019. I was working just south of the Legends, and I drove up the street, go just look at something that God put his finger on. And I drove past it, and I fell in love with it. A little piece of land, about 4.5 acres, just north of the Legends. I drove home, grabbed my wife, and I said, we're eating out tonight. Let's go down and see what we've got for land. We drove down, we looked at it. She fell in love with it too. 2019. He landed it in my heart. Do you remember when you drove past Harmony Baptist and you said it landed like the dust came up? That's what I saw with this land, that same picture. It was for sale. That's how I found it. And Sherry and I started driving by it and praying about it and walking on it. And we'd grab the kids and, you know, it's Saturday. Let's go take a look at it. One day, we were there, pulled up, and there was a guy, an older guy, mowing. How many people have ever seen an 80-year-old guy mowing 5 acres? He was an 80-year-old guy mowing 5 acres. Yeah. His name's Roger. So we asked him about it, and he said, yeah, I've got it for sale. But man, there's all kinds of people looking at it right now. We got this car been stopping by, we got that car stopping by, and this car stopping by, and I said, those are all my cars. I'm not quite sure yet, because it's a lot of money, and it's just bare land. There's no house there. I think I know what we're supposed to do, but I called the elders, and God bless these elders. They drove all the way over to Piper, walked on this land, and prayed on the land, and we all agreed that we were supposed to move forward and acquire the land. That was 2020. I heard that I was supposed to pray for that land every night. So I started praying every night that God would give us that land. Kept in contact with Roger. One day, I was there, Roger was there, we were talking about it, and I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, that sounds wonderful. I'd love to see that happen. And we had a handshake contract that we were going to buy the land. And the next day he talked to his lawyer. If there's any lawyers in here, I apologize. The next day he talked to his lawyer, who said, "Don't be stupid. That's not how this works." So we backed out of our contract. It's written on nothing, so that's what it was worth. 2021, we called Roger back. We'd been working together and trying to get some things working. Called him up in 2021 to discuss the land. And he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I've already got a contract on it." And went home and started praying. And God said, "Pray against it." Okay, so we prayed against it. And a week later, this guy's financing fell through. I'm thinking, here we go. A couple months later, you know, I've got the finances together. I've got a package. Called up to say, "We're ready to move ahead." And Roger said, "I'm sorry. I already have another contract, and I close tomorrow." And I went to God, and I said, "Should I pray against this one too?" He said, "No." And the land was sold. For 5 years, that land sat. You remember this 80-year-old guy that used to mow it? It's not his land anymore, so he wasn't mowing it. Neither was anyone else. It sat abandoned for 5 years. 2022, I asked the Lord, "Did I miss it? Did I delay and miss your promise? Did my fear and timidity cost me this land?" God said, "Keep praying for it. Pray every night." So we prayed every night, 2022, 2023. I'm starting to lose hope. I prayed with no expectation, no fire, no nothing. I just prayed because God told me to. So I let the words flow out of my mouth every night. That's all they were, is words. 2024, I heard another word from the Lord. He said, "Pray for the land, not to acquire it. Pray for it. Pray God's blessing to rest on it, for his spirit to move there, for healings and salvations to happen there." Told you. I prayed for those things to happen no matter who owned the land. Faith began to grow in my heart. I began to pray for God to move there no matter what. 2025. I heard, "Pray for the owners of the land." So I went to the county records and found the names of the owners. And it's Eric and Randy and Jacqueline. So I started praying for them, that God would draw them to his heart if they didn't know him. That God would draw him closer if they did know him. That God would draw them back if they had walked away. I lifted them up as well as the land before the throne of grace every night. 2025, in July, I went to Zillow, just opened it up just to see what was going on, right? It's a realtor site, if you don't know it. Land was for sale. And I said, honey, come here, look. This was like 30 seconds from when I saw it until she came in. You know what this wonderful woman of God said to me? Made an offer yet? So I called up a realtor, and we talked about it, and we made a ridiculous offer. If you've ever started a real estate conversation with somebody, you know what you do, right? You ask for the world and take the moon, right? You take half of it. Well, I asked for all kinds of stuff. Put in the offer. They just signed it. September 8th, the day of new beginnings, we closed on the land. I said all that to say this. That night, when we prayed, how do you do this, John? Here's what I heard from God. Every prayer you prayed that I commanded will come to pass. Every prayer you prayed as I commanded you to will come to pass. You prayed for peace to abide there. It will. You prayed for people to get healed and restored and set free, and they will. You prayed that my spirit would rest there. It will. Every prayer you prayed will happen. You may have forgotten some of what you prayed. You may have prayed with absolutely no faith and no expectation and no confidence. But when you prayed what I told you to pray, I heard, I remember, and it will come to pass. Israel is the promised land. There's mine.
I think it matters if you pray. Thanks, sir. Mike, you want to come, please? Smart man, he left the Kleenex.
Good idea. It was about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting in one of these pews, overwhelmed with cares, troubles, and problems of this life. When you're an old guy, these things sort of come up on you. How am I going to survive? What happens when I can't work anymore? Where do I go? Who's going to take care of me? Good idea. And the Lord reminded me of how faithful he's been in my life up to this point. And he said, you've got to choose if you're going to believe that I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. But in the meantime, are you going to, you know, suffer under all of these worries and fears and doubts? You have to decide whether or not you believe I am going to take care of you, because I said I would. It's a choice. We choose to believe God. We choose to trust God. They say a coward dies a thousand deaths because he's worried about all of the things that's going to happen to him and how it's going to happen. A brave man only once, because in the meantime he's dealing with what's in front of him. I ain't real good at it yet. But the Lord isn't looking for perfection, he's looking for improvement. And I think I'm improving.
Billy, you want to come? It's good for the camera if we go to the middle. So.
Hard to follow. I guess this story really starts when I was born, because I was born with bad vision. Don't look at this eye today. It's ironic, we've talked about that. Bad eye vision as a child. Didn't know until first grade. My parents finally found out from the teacher that I needed glasses. Imagine looking up at the sky and seeing the moon and two stars, and then finally getting glasses and going, whoa, there's Phil, the sky. 25 years old, I was started having other problems with my vision. I was diagnosed with a disease, cornea disease called keratoconus. There's no cure for it. There's no fix. And so progresses is all it does. They wanted me to wear hard lenses, hard contact lenses to help with it. Problem is with keratoconus, nerves are close to the top of the cornea. Makes it difficult to wear them. It hurts. So that didn't work out too well. I had to go back to glasses, did my best. We'll move on to May 2nd, 2010, right here at Harmony Vineyard. Guest speaker was here, Robbie Dawkins. And I had reached a point with my vision where I was thinking about a career change. So I missed church that day. I believe I was out of town. Mom called me over to the house. She said, I've got something I want you to listen to. And so I listened to Robbie's, what he had to say. He called her in the church. As soon as I wasn't here, so I've listened to it again before I came. When he got on the stage, he asked, where's Lee? And somebody pointed her out, and he said, is it with a K? Well, it's not a K, but it starts with cable. So, and he said, okay, that's it. He went on and gave his talk, and then at the end, he said something about Lee again. Well, there were two Lees here at the time, and he told the other woman, no, this isn't for you. I asked my mother, he said, well, do you have a son? I've got three. Okay, well, as a he said, I don't know which one this is for. He said, I'm not going too deep into it, but all I can tell you, he's going to see better. That's it, see better. Now, I had one of my brothers that was, I thought, Mom, this is for him, not for vision. She said, no, this is for you. Okay, we'll see. Unfortunately, and I know my mother had prayed for my eyes her whole life. I know she did, because that was Mom. She never told me that, but I know Mom. So, unfortunately, a year later, she passed. But it was 3 years later, 4 years later, my sister came to me and she said, hey, you need to check this out, because at that time, the 4 years, that's when I really started, I'm going to change my career. I can't do this, because I was driving nights at the time, and it was difficult. So she said, you need to check into this procedure that's being done. I said, okay. So longer story shorter, I'll try to cut this. Wound up visiting a doctor. He said, do you really want to do this? It was in trials here in the United States. I had to go to Canada to do it. But my vision was that bad. I was able to, within the next year, save the money. God provided. We took the trip. And that was in 2015, so 10 years ago now. The procedure worked. The progression of the corneas has stopped. I wear a special hard contact lens that gave me 20/20 vision. And the key for me was, well, I should be for all. He didn't promise a healing for me, but he gave my mother an answer to many years of prayer that your son is going to see better. And I do. Thank you, Jesus.
Love it. Thanks, man. Honey, I think it's your turn. Can you come to the middle, please? They like it better that way. We prayed for this girl for a long time. Some of you don't know her, but, well, I've talked to Jamie about you a million times. And I told her, I said, you know, you could do this like forever. I told her, you've only got about 10 minutes. But I'm telling you, the Lord has been in this over a long period of time. And miracles wear burgundy sweaters.
Hey, guys. Wow, I didn't know it'd start so soon. For those of you who don't know, my name is Honey. I'm daughter of Jamie and Craig Estes, and I'm traveling here from California. But before I start, I would like to pray, if that's okay. Father God, Father, I love you so much. Of your love for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Darn it, guys. You know what I figured what this is it's a confidence of God's love for me, and you just can't help but just cry. It's so overwhelming, you know? But I would like to start my story back in the end of 2010. I had just turned 30, and I was going through a divorce after being with my husband for 11 years. And he divorced me because of infidelity on my part. And it was the first time in my entire life that I, sorry, this light is so bright, that I was by myself. I was alone, or at least I felt like I was, you know. I had two small children, and if I'm being honest, for my whole life at that point, I was the product of enablement, and my mom did the best that she could, but I didn't have strong character. I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I didn't have a firm foundation of Him, of knowing who He is or even who I am. And I was blown by every wind. And so I'm going through a divorce, and I'm on my own, and I just had so much fear and a feeling of inadequacy, and I wanted so bad for my reality to go away. And I started using methamphetamines, and it got a hold of me really, really quick. And I, in a matter of months, I lost everything. I lost everything. And instead of fighting, I ran, and I ran from my children, and I abandoned them, and I ran for 7 years. It's funny when you're in addiction like that, your concept of time is really distorted, and time will go on, and before I knew it, years had gone by, and as each step of running and running and running, I dug myself deeper and deeper into this hole, this pit of hopelessness, of overwhelming sense of shame, of things, lies, deceptions in my mind, telling me what mother abandons her children worse. And so I ran and I ran, and it wasn't until I came to the ends of myself and I had exhausted all my options, unfortunately. It had to come to that point. And I was there 7 years later, and I, looking for me because of choices that I had made to support my habit. And there was this huge windstorm that blew out the power and the water, and the person that I was with was gone, and I'm there alone by myself. And all of a sudden, there was a team of law enforcement agents that came, and I stepped outside, and the head federal law enforcement said, "Are you Honey?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, Stephen," who I was involved with, he said that he would tell us where everything was, only on one account, that you'd be left alone. And so for the next several hours, we loaded up everything in their truck, and the lights, the sun was going down, and I came to the ends of myself of asking myself how my life got to this point. And the head guy came to me and he says, "Honey, you know, we can't leave you like this. Is there somewhere where we can take you?" And I said, "My sisters." And at that point where I asked myself how my life got to this point, God, in his infinite love and mercy for me, he came and he saved me. And he met me right where I was at. And he met me in the people of the law enforcement agents, in my sister, he even in Jamie, my bonus mom, my biological mom who's now passed away, and my father. He came to me through them, and it wasn't until I made the decision that I needed to get the help that I needed that I was ready. And so at that point, I entered into an 18-month holistic program, and it was 3 days into the program that I found myself on the outside of the program, and it was where the playground was where the children played. And just thinking about the overwhelming sense of the mountain in front of me, and there was this gush of wind and this overwhelming sense of emotion, and I fell to my knees, and I cried out to the Lord, and I gave my heart to him. And and I gave my heart to him, and it's hard to put into words from that moment on, but I had this indescribable sense of hope that filled my heart, and a strength that was within me that was not of my own. And it's hard to put it into words, but there wasn't ever an option of leaving, of quitting. I mean, I just started this journey of a long road ahead of me, and the driving force was my children, but it was going to be a long time because there's consequences of your actions, and this was the place because of my own choices of where I put myself. But what I'm saying is as I was going through each disappointment, because this was a long road, it's not something that's just going to happen overnight. The Lord met me with such encouragement in whatever I was doing. And so in the process of trying, my driving force was getting back to my children, right? But it wasn't just going to be something that was so easy. So he knew what I needed. And as I'm in the program, My mentor at the time had said, hey, I have an idea. It was time for us to find a job. And, you know, when you get to the ends of yourself and you're given a second chance, man, your perspective completely changes. And she says, hey, why don't you apply at the office that I work at as phone operator? And I'm like, oh, yes, are you kidding me? I'm willing to work anywhere. And I'm there, and I just saw things different. I saw things as being given a second chance, and I gave 110%, and they saw my potential, and they sent me to UC San Diego, and they decided to invest in me. And I am now an x-ray technician, have been for the last 7 years, and I'm just a few months away from getting my associate's degree in science because I'm moving forward in my career of sonography. But the best part, you guys, is that God brought my kids back to me. Yeah. Yeah, they're actually here, but they didn't want to be here today, and I didn't want to pressure them, but they'll be here for the food. But what I'm saying is even with the addiction, it was a symptom of something deeper, and it was within myself is that I didn't know who I was. I didn't have the foundation of this relationship of knowing Christ as my Savior. And so I've asked the Lord, you know, why it had to be to that point where I, you know, had to come to the ends of myself, that it had to be such dire straits that for me to open my eyes and being willing to get the help that I needed. But you know what? He just tells me that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and now I have this perspective and this relationship with him, and I know who I am. I know that I'm his. I know that I'm loved, and I know that who I am is my identity of who he created me to be is not based off of the things that I've done. And so now I can be the mom that I was always intended to be, and now I can show the love that God has extended to me to the people around me. And so I just want to thank you all so much for letting me share, and this is very hard, but here we are. And for the people that have prayed for me, I just want to thank you with all my heart, because I'm standing here as a product of your prayer. And to encourage anyone that whatever you're facing, whatever mountain, whatever discouragement, just to know that God loves you and he wants you to expect great things from him. And thank you.
That was beautiful. Stay with me for just a second. I don't know if anyone else will remember this or not, but we prayed for this girl a lot. Jamie's really good at saying you need to pray for this girl. But as you were speaking, I forgot this until I heard you speaking here today. And one of the things that I prayed in the prayer room, I don't remember what chapter we were on, but it was something, and I remembered something like this. And Lord, when you do what we ask you to do, I want that girl to stand right here and testify before these people what he did that happened.
Yeah.
Sweet, thank you. Another boring Sunday morning, huh? This is about testimony, and I'm going to give you a couple things about testimony, because nobody didn't say to me, I don't know if I'm so good at that or not, that if I should, you know, I got to take a microphone, I got to stand in front of people. But you have a story. That's what God has done in you, and you're the expert. Nobody knows more about it than you do. And I've been doing a little study on the concept of testimony, and it's not just what he did, it's also how you responded to what he did. Because he could have done a lot of stuff and you'd say, "Ah, no thanks." Changes the story. So I just want you to recognize none of these people do this for a living. This is something that starts when he sparks in your heart and then just builds and does things. So having the confidence in God, I love the way you said it, because that's, I actually taught that. God bless you. That having the confidence in God is what gives you courage to be able to do things. But it's an inner confidence in him that shows up as an external expression of courage. on your part. So when as the confidence grows, the courage to do it grows. And I don't know if you know this or not, but if you look in the Bible, you don't recognize oftentimes. We talk about testimony or sharing or giving, you know, how I came to the Lord or how I came back to the Lord. Yeah, John the Baptist is the one you think of. That he was not the light, but he was testifying about Jesus, that Jesus was the light. So it was who he was to him, and that was his story. Well, Jesus said, no, up to this point, nobody even greater than John the Baptist. But John didn't think so. He'd say, no, this is the guy. Did you know that the Bible says not only did John the Baptist testify, he says the Holy Spirit testifies. Then he says God testifies. You're getting significant here. Why would he do that? Because it's an expression of who he wants to be and how he wants to be made known. So in Hebrews chapter 11, says it, speaking of the priesthood of Jesus, is that every priest stands by daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time onward that his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind, and I will write them, he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's the Holy Spirit testifying. And now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering for sin. In the Old Testament, I'm saving time here, but in the Old Testament, I don't know if you can identify with this or not, but the people of God complained and murmured. Selah. Stop and think about that for a minute. And they mumbled and grumbled and didn't like it. And because see, he was supernaturally feeding them quail at night and frosted flakes in the morning, somebody told me. Because they said they were like wafers and they were... had honey on them. So I guess that I said I had a kid in my youth group one time way back in the day, and what was manna? And this kid said, my mom said it was Twinkies. And I said, I missed that one. I'll have to get a new concordance. And come to find out, I said, and where did she get this information? You know, I mean, hostess? Who gave that to her? She says, well, my mom said that she felt like God was so good that the manna tasted like anything you wanted it to. Well, that's a pretty smart mom. I don't know if it did. And so, but anyway, they were getting tired of free, miraculous food.
Right.
Yeah. I thought, these guys might have been Americans.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, may very well have been that way. But he said, here's what I want you to do. We're going to stop this. Don't want you doing this. I want you to take a jar, a vase, whatever, and put two omers, which is half of an ephah, so whatever. So anyway, a couple of quarts of this stuff, and put a lid on it, and then you take it, have the priest take it into before the ark. And you know what the ark is called at that time? Is the Ark of the Testimony. Did you know that? Not the Ark of the Covenant at that time, Ark of Testimony. Why? Because inside the Ark was the Ten Commandments, the Word of God.
Right.
Now I'm going someplace with this, so act excited. So here's this miraculous, supernatural invasion of heaven to earth that was happening every morning. And they said, take this jar in and put it in front of, and a couple of guys that I read even said, maybe lean it against the Ark of the Testimony. Why? Because the miracles are so good, because they're based on the God who spoke. and they lean on the power of God through the Word of God. That'll preach if you're not careful. And so, just think, that's what testimony is. God does this amazing thing. Why would He give those kids back to this lady? Somebody prayed. And then He spoke it into existence. And it happened. I'm telling you, the testimony we have, that supernatural thing that God has done, that miraculous touch that He's given to us, is leaning into the strength of the name, the person, the character, the nature of God. And it's based on His never-changing word. So this thing that you can't explain is based on the one who declares it to be so. Isn't that cool? So when you think about giving testimony, everybody's got a little jar of stuff that God's done for them. Right? And see, it was a treasure to Him because He said, if you put it in there and you put it in here where worship goes on, then it won't get wormy. Because if you took the manna and you kept it overnight, yeah, you had larvae in the morning. You know, it got maggots in it. Because he said, no, you trust me. I'm going to do it on Tuesday. You trust me that I'm going to do it on Wednesday morning. So don't try to save it up. And if you do, good luck with that. But, he said, on the seventh day, I'm not going to do it on the seventh day. I'm trying to teach you trust and rest. So on the sixth day, you can hold it and it'll be okay. Well, people had a hard time with that. And they didn't do it right. So they were either hungry or wormy. One of the two, neither one was a very good outcome. But see, He has a way of using our testimony too. Amen. And the timing of it sometimes is just amazing. You get to do it. You had no intention. Boy, I hope I'm going to testify to three people today. Well, you might feel that way, but you may go 3 weeks without an opportunity. So it's not that. It's that, here I am, Lord. What do you got to say today? Are you wanting to inject me into somebody's life today? Are you trying to bring someone's life into my path today? Well, here I am. Here's all I know. This is what I got. A little jar full, but it's your jar full. And if you want me to use it, when I pop it, it's going to be just as supernatural when they get it as it was when I got it. That's the power of testimony. Isn't that strong? So I say that to you today. I think the power of, you know, of testimony. Testimony of Jesus, the Bible says, is the spirit of prophecy. It brings the word of the Lord. It excites and energizes the word of the Lord. So John the Baptist testified, that's not bad. Holy Spirit testifies. Real quick. The Bible says God testifies, which makes it a healthy habit that we should have. This is in Acts chapter 15. Talking about whether or not the Gentiles should be saved, Gentiles should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Things are going on like that. You're in the middle of Acts chapter 15. And verse 7. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe." Verse 8. "And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just also as He did to us, and He made no distinction between them, cleansing their hearts by faith." And then you get to the end of it, it says, "And all the people kept silent as they were listening to Barnabas and Paul, as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them, through the Gentiles." He said, "Listen, this is Peter, Barnabas, they're talking. These are guys that knew." Paul's, "Yes, this is what's supposed to happen." And then he said, "But God testified. And here's how He did it. He gave to them what He gave to us." So He testified in Acts chapter 2. "Hey guys, I told you, wait, something's happening." Boy, did it. Power, fire, move of God, 3,000 people get saved. And then he said, "You have to understand now, God's giving the same testimony so that every person, every nation, tongue, and tribe can come and be part." Now see, when God's behind your testimony, which is what Peter's saying. Listen, but he said, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you he told them. He didn't. I didn't give the Holy Spirit to them. He did. This isn't something of my manufacturing. This is anything of my zeal. He did. So everybody has that story. Well, had a young man in my youth ministry way back in the day, and we had a couple kids that, you know, used drugs and just run around pregnant and all that kind of stuff. And this one kid said, I don't think I can do it. And big kid, football player, there's no reason, why would he be afraid? He said, I haven't ever done anything wrong. That was his testimony. I never did anything wrong. I said, dude, do you know what I mean? Parents would be happy to hear there's actually teenagers out there who never did anything wrong. You think so? And I said, yeah, because you don't have to unlive all the stuff other people lived out. You can just say, he's protected me. And we went places and did youth services and stuff like that. And he would get up and say that and tear the place up. And he said, but I don't have as an exciting testimony as others. And I said, depends on whose ears that message is going into. So it doesn't have to be. I have kind of a dramatic, go figure, testimony. But I wouldn't have got in without that. Because I wasn't looking. Didn't think it could be. I want to read you one other, and then we're going to go eat. This is Josephus, the Jewish historian. I think this is one of the most magnificent testimonies that exists. Now, he was a Jewish historian. And he was born in 37, went to 37 to 95 A.D. So he's in the time. And it says, he says, about this time lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man. For he was an achiever of extraordinary deeds and was a teacher of those who accept the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. When he was indicted by the principal men among us and Pilate, condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him originally did not cease to do so, for he appeared on them on the third day, restored to life, as the prophets of the deity had foretold. These countless and other marvelous things about him and the tribe of Christians so named after him has not disappeared to this day. That's a Jewish historian talking about just the facts, nothing but the facts. He was able to testify of what he saw and heard and knew to be true. And he like an historian, he wasn't hallelujah, praise the Lord. It was just, this is who he was. This is when he came, and this is what he did. We all have that. Everybody has an encounter with the Spirit of God in one way or another. Now, I say everybody, if you haven't ever given your heart to the Lord, that's not the case, right? But if you have, even if it was, I guess, who was I talking to the other day? And I happened to say, when I got saved, and he just looked at me like, well, that would start counting. You'd be. I said, yeah, you're right, I would be. Because I've been saved longer than they'd been alive. Kind of like Josh. You'll catch me. But then when I said that to him, it was just like, and essentially it was, well, you don't act like it was that long ago. I said, we're still working on it. He's still doing stuff. Amen. Everybody has a testimony. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And it said, and then not really being afraid of death. That's what it says. And so it's the word of their testimony. It's the word of our testimony. That's how we win the world. That's how we build the kingdom. That's how the family of God gets increased. And here we are. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for you being the architect of the stories that we have heard today. Lord, I love it. You work with different people in different ways, but all for the same purpose. You are a redemptive God. And everything you touch experiences that redemption, that restoration. So today, Lord, would you stoke the fire in us? Would you take us to that time when that was what was flooding our mind all the time, was that first encounter with you? And Lord, we want to grow up, we want to mature, we want to grow on, but we also want to be able to say, but this name that we sang about, that's the only name, that's the highest name, it's belief in his name that has caused us to be able to become a child of God. And Lord, we say, I said this morning, even with the craziness of the traffic, Lord, come and fill your house. And we ask for, we want to be part of seeing that take place. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, anybody that has children in class, you can go now. We're going to wait for you just a little bit. You go first. If you get your kids out and get them into the food line, that would be really good. It'd be helpful. We'll just hang out in here for a few minutes as we let that happen. And when we go, we'll be going into the fellowship hall. If you don't know how to get there, just wait for somebody. People that run fast, you'll know that's where they're going. And you can... I'm not going to do a soft shoe up here. We're going to be done. But let's wait 6 or 7 minutes... to give people a chance to get their kids and get them in line first, and then we'll all be free to go. And if you didn't remember to bring anything, we got stuff. Don't worry about it. Please stay. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday.